case has to look at individually. But in theory, if you want to learn in yeshiva, you want to learn Chumash, and mom and dad say, no, you got to go home, in theory, and I'm going to say in theory because there's going to be a lot of qualifications, you are permitted, halachically, to make the decision to learn, even over parental objection, because Talmud Torah overrides honoring parents. Now, not only is that going to be true when they want to take you out of yeshiva, but even if they want you to go to a different yeshiva, they think a certain yeshiva would be better for you. You are entitled, if you feel, talking to your rabbin, that this is a better place, whatever it is, to do this. Now, I say this in theory for the following reason. Now, there are two considerations here. Number one, just because you're not obligated to listen to your parents doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to your parents. Number one, they might be right. That's an important point. They may have judgment and experience. Mark Twain once said about his own parents, he said, when I was 17, I thought my parents were very foolish. When I was 21, I was amazed how smart they got in just 4 years. And the truth of the matter is that we often discover that our parents are very good judges. Now again, this may depend. If they're not religious, they may not fully understand a given context and the like. But I do want to point out, when you hear the halakha, that you don't have to listen to your parents, that is not the same thing as saying you shouldn't. That's all I'm doing. Number two, you have to consider many, many, many dynamics. It is absolutely essential for everybody to try to have as good a relationship with your family as you can. That's true for religious families, it's true for non-religious families, it's true for all families. That when you have a good relationship with your family, with your parents, who after all have done so much for virtually every child, then everything goes better. The learning goes better, your marriage goes better, your parents will go better. So even if the halacha says that you can make this decision and Sibud Aviyah is not a veto, one has to be very, very careful and reluctant to do anything that creates tension and antagonism. Sometimes that is unavoidable. Sometimes you've got to do the right thing, no matter what. But it's kind of a last resort, meaning to say it's very, very important. And keep in mind as well that bifrat, if your parents are not religious, the imperatives of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, and not desecrating God's name, is a solemn obligation. You have to communicate that being a religious Jew and being a Ben Torah is a good thing. You have to convince them, you have to show them that it's a noble thing. And any behavior that's chas v'shalom gives the impression of selfishness, of egotism, of a lack of concern, of a lack of caring for other people's feelings is an awesome, awesome solution. So that's why you need to think about this very, very carefully and to consult with people. So on one hand, I can give you what's called the black letter halacha, that Talmud Torah is more important than Kibbutz Aviyah. That is true. That is true. But you need to balance it, because in the long run, if you destroy your relationship with your parents because you want to learn somewhere, it's likely you're not going to be able to learn that. Anyway, of course, that brings me to a final point that Post can say. Post can say that although you have the right to decide where you want to learn over your parents' objections, they don't have to pay for any decision they disagree with. So in a sense, you'd be on your own. And that brings me to the second major exception. I don't know if I said it's exactly the same. That is marriage partners. Talmud Torah is the first exception to Kibbutz Aviyah. The second exception is who you choose to marry. Every person wants their parents' blessing for who they marry. Right? I mean, obviously we want this. But Aliba Diemis, if your parent, for example, says wrong person we don't want, and you are convinced after speaking with all the people you need to speak to that this is the right person, you are permitted, now again, permitted, that doesn't mean it's advisable, that doesn't mean it's good, but you are permitted to choose your marriage partner and your parents don't have the right to say no. Again, everything I said about Talmud Torah applies even more so here, that number one, anything your parents say should be taken very seriously, very respectfully, and number two, one should oppose a parental decision with extreme reluctance. And only in rare cases But ultimately, it is your life, and ultimately, it is your decision. And the halacha recognizes that there is no such thing as a parental veto on a choice of shidduch. That is case number two. And case number three is aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. This is an issue that many people do face. That is, you have parents in Chutz La'aretz, you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, parents would prefer that you stay in Chutz La'aretz, although Kibud Aviyem is a tremendous mitzvah, but Kibud Aviyem cannot override the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, once again, this depends on the circumstance. If the parents are old, if they're sick, if they need you, and no one else can do it, that's a very different situation than if they simply want you to be around, but there's no particular automatic need. Then you have to ask the question. Now, I have to tell you, again, I don't want to get into too many autobiographical details, but for example, I myself had a very, very difficult childhood for a lot of reasons, but coming here, I've been here now for around 5 years, and not that long. For me personally, kind of value personally, by far, although there were many, many things that were difficult, but the issue was my mother was living in Maryland, and I'm not available, it's my mother. And the issue of leaving was very, very difficult. I did not have left on my own, but we asked for Chaim Kineski, Shiloh, yes, Chaim Kineski, Shiloh. I felt at home. I did not have a stop from a double on the door. I would not come. I absolutely would not come. But he felt, and he said, as long as, you know, he's being taken care of and you can have regular contact and you're able to travel, he felt that the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, of each of Eretz Yisrael, of teaching Torah together, would be more important. But again, nevertheless, a decision like this is not at all easy. It's a very, very difficult decision. So you have to understand, and this is true in halacha, when the Torah gives you permission to make a decision, that doesn't make it easier, that makes it harder. In other words, if the halacha would be, Kibud Aviyem overrides everything, then it would be easy. I'm not going to go. If the halacha would be, Talmud Torah overrides everything, that would also be easy. I got to go. But precisely where the Torah says your parents can't make you stay, so then it becomes a decision you have to make. So for carrots, right? You understand that? In other words, a decision which halacha says you can do this or that is a much, much harder life decision than a decision that says you've got to do A or B. And that's where this falls in. So the three areas of the posting in which they say that it is your decision, essentially, your decision as opposed to telling you what you have to do is Talmud Torah, Kibud Aviyem, and Shidduch. These are the areas where the poskim say, ultimately, you must make your own decision, because halacha does not allow your parents to put a veto on you.
But if one parent wants to say one thing, and one parent wants to...
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So we have a very interesting halacha. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that father and mother are in contradiction. You listen to the father, but that's only if they're still married. Parents are divorced, they're both equal. You flip a coin at that point. And the rule that the mother must be subordinate to the father is when there's an ongoing marriage. Once there's divorce, as a result, they're considered to be equal. Now, again, though, this gets us into all sorts of problems. I mean, if you think about it, let's imagine, and I don't know if any of you are married, but you have a face, but I'll give you some scenarios, which are really nightmare scenarios, where the halacha of Kibud Aviyem is quite complicated. Father and mother are divorced. Okay? Child is getting married. Father says to child, maybe father got married to somebody else. Father says to child, if your mother comes to the wedding, I'm not going to pay for it. Okay? Or the other way around. Mother says to child, I don't want your father's new wife to be at the wedding. Okay? So you're a kid, you're getting married, you're more than a kid, but you're getting married, and you know, you have, let's say, mom is yelling at you because she doesn't want dad's new wife to be at the wedding. Dad is telling you, I'm not going to pay for this wedding if your mother shows up. What do you do? Who do you respect? Now, Kibud Aviyem doesn't help you very much here, because halacha says when the parents are divorced, they're both equal. So on one hand, mom's desire is something you have to obey, and dad's desire, right? So what do? So really, and you might expect what you do, I mean, you may not have the power always, but if you have the power to effect something, is you have the right to assess what is the more reasonable response. Quite logical, to deprive a mother from going to the wedding of a child is much more painful than to deprive a recently married new wife who didn't even raise the child of going, right? So in such a situation, it would appear that mother has the better argument. Dad's request is not reasonable. Dad's request is not fair. Dad's request that mom can't go to the wedding is not a moral request. It's an immoral request. One might even argue that itself violates the Torah. The only thing is, what's going to happen if dad doesn't pay for the wedding? I mean, the Maisa, you're still going to be out of the money. So what can I tell you to do? Some want to say, in such a case, you can listen to dad because it says, Kibud Aviyam doesn't require you to spend money. So the neighbors are going to lose the money, so that would be a shock. These are hard questions. I mean, the short answer is, when people behave in a bad, selfish way, there's not always a lot you can do about it, right? Halachically, you want to keep halacha, and you're confronted with this type of behavior. The truth of the matter is, in an ultimate sense, basically mom should be able to come, obviously, and God's wife should be able to come as well. You make shalom, you swallow it, life goes on. These are things that happen. And, in a perfect world, this wouldn't happen, but the second best in an imperfect world is that everybody shows up and nobody fights. In the real world, things don't happen this way, and then you get all sorts of very, very nasty shilas. But be this as it may, these are things to think about in the union of Kibud Aviyam, and I just want to be madgish. But on one hand, it is absolutely true that Kibud Aviyam can never, never, never justify doing favors. That's true. On the other hand, you need to know what is an aveira. Sometimes a given request may not be the best thing in the world, but it may be a permissible type of thing. And therefore, one needs to always discuss this. You can't just be strict, because if you're strict in what is an aveira, you're being makel in the mitzvah Kibud Aviyam. You have to be careful not to do that. But the connection to the Parsha is simply this, and I'll reconstruct the chronology in more detail. That is, since Yaakov is punished for the 22 years he was not with Yitzchak, but he is not punished for the 14 years he was learning in Yeshiva, we see that the Talmud Torah is greater than the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyam. That's the yisod of the Gemara Torah. Sorry, was there one more question I have to read? Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi. Yeah.